Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Of senses you have. This thing you call language, though, most remarkable. You depend on it for so very much that is any one of you really its master. But most of all, the aloneness. You are so alone. You live out your lives in this shell of flesh, self-contained, separate. How lonely you are. How terribly lonely.
I'm ready to start if you guys are.
All right.
I'll push the button.
Get it going.
All right, we're starting the podcast
it's just to
make that clear to everybody. Dan, Jesse,
yes,
because you guys are making lots of like groaning noises.
Hey Dan,
what are you doing?
Hey Jesse,
didn't we do this last week?
Hey Jesse,
hey Dan,
this is a rerun.
What are you doing?
I know these are evergreen podcasts.
What are you doing?
Hey Jesse,
I don't think evergreen means they sound the same each and every week.
My name is Dan.
Hey, Jesse.
I sound like this when I talk.
Hey, Jesse, what are you doing?
My name is not Jesse, it's Dan.
Why are you doing that?
Okay. Dan's been pushing me to get this podcast started all fucking night.
For like the past seven hours.
He's just like, why haven't we started the podcast yet, guys?
I think it's like every week. Because I get antsy.
You get antsy, and then I push the fucking timer, and you're just all like,
doop, doop, doop,
because I'm ground, fart, fart, fart.
Yeah, because we're on the podcast now. Now it's time to talk.
Okay.
Now it's time to be crazy. It always takes us like a good hour and a half.
So
to
you're
get going.
Just you're saving it up, and it's just the.
I think it's
the
just
potential a, energy is
yeah,
just killing you.
That's right. All that potential energy is
just building
all
up.
That tension for the hour and a half.
You're gonna blow
for the hour and a half it takes us to get ready.
Does it really take an hour and a half?
Yes, it does every time.
Oh my goodness.
I look at the clock.
Dan's got to be making that.
You've got to be.
I think he must be exaggerating that.
Not a minute.
Be mistaken, sir.
Okay, right. We got here at 9:40. It's now 10:08.
I don't believe you.
Okay.
What is this?
I think
what is
you
this
got
clock
here,
you have?
I think you
there?
Got
what
here is... at exactly 10:00.
Actually, sorry, 8:40, not 9:40, 8:40, 8:40, and now it's 10:10.
I got here at 8:30. I beat you.
It's 10:08.
Well, you're giving inconsistent answers, sir. Inconsistent.
Oh, God. I corrected myself. There's a difference.
You've already undermined your
authority. I'm not playing this game with you.
No, neither am I.
We've all agreed to stop playing this game.
No more games.
We'll stop playing the game, and we will start playing Pretend to Do a Podcast.
What?
What? You know this thing we do every year? Every week. This thing we do every week where we pretend to do a podcast but we don't actually record it.
People love it.
There must be no delay.
No delay. All right. Hello everyone, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I know you. All of you.
Yes, it's that's Dan over there, Jesse over across from Dan.
Over there.
And then sort of catty corner to Dan and Jesse. It's me, I'm Patrick. Hey.
Catty corner. Hey. A doggy side.
I say catty corner because of the region where I was raised. Some people might say kitty corner.
I say doggy side.
You come from
which gets confusing because a lot of people think it means I murder a lot of dogs. I commit doggy side, homicide. But really, I mean like instead of the corner of
fratricide.
A cat, instead of catty corner, I'm saying doggy.
It's called rufus.
Instead of catty corner, I'm saying doggy side, and I don't mean murdering dogs. I mean it's a different way of saying catty corner from my regional dialect.
Yeah.
Another auspicious start to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I know you.
This, I believe.
All of you.
I believe this is episode 291.
That's a lie!
No, it sounds about right.
I don't think it's a lie.
I think it's about right.
Miranda.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
So in my notes, Dan's already like, so I use a check mark system for my
like
notes.
A game?
No, this is not a game. I'm just I'm explaining something. So I use check boxes.
So it's a personal game that you play.
No, no. It's not a game.
It's a game he's playing on you.
It's a mechanism of convenience for keeping track of the conversation. Longstanding audience members will be confused to think that there's any form of organization to this particular
game. We lack data to analyze.
But there is some organization. Jesse has handwritten notes in a sort of a leather-bound old parchment notebook.
It's human skin.
Dan has secret notes that nobody is permitted to even glance askance at.
Yeah. Don't interfere.
On a special computer, and I've got my notes on a computer.
Cover your eyes!
I use
you can never see! Never!
I use the check boxes, and when I click the check box, I can, you know, after stating making a point that's in my notes, I can click the checkbox and the point goes away.
So know? Wait, you have like a checkbox.
And he's got another point
like
waiting behind.
So you have like a list software.
I have list software. Well, it's Google Keep is really
okay, right, Google Keep.
And I click on the checkbox. Now, Dan has allowed me to already click away a number Google of checkboxes because a lot of my notes were, Dan's totally going to take this audio. And that liar one was one.
Liar, liar.
That one, and then Miranda.
Filthy liar!
That one. And then isn't there another one where she says, you've played it already.
Is there another liar line?
There's something like this. Oh, another screaming Miranda line. I forget exactly.
Liar! Liar! Deceiver, you're not alone. You brought it with you. It's here. It's here. You brought it with you. Liar! Liar!
Yeah, that...
Liar!
Sorry. Didn't you cut that out? Because you have just that liar, the guy saying, Larry. We'll get to this whole Larry.
Larry.
Guy.
Marvick?
Larry Marvick.
Larry
Marvick. Come on.
I'm Larry Marvick.
Larry Marvick. Oh.
I'm Larry Marvick. I use my Linux box.
All right. Well, you've helped me already get clear some of my notes.
All right. Do your notes often involve like what sounds you think I'll play?
Not always.
Is it like birding where you have to like check off like when you like watch the episode and you have to guess which sounds I'm going to play and then you check them off when I say them?
Have you been watching The Resident?
Yeah. That was a very obvious reference.
It's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
I haven't seen the last episode, but I'm very charmed by The Resident.
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen The Resident on Netflix, there's a sort of a birding component to that program.
I don't remember. Does Miranda say liar somewhere else in that episode?
No. You're correct. I think I was thinking of Larry, saying liar. I was conflating it with Miranda. There's something where Miranda freaks out, and I figured you had recorded that. I don't know.
Oh,
if you
wait, this one.
That's a lie.
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
Which is that's a lie. And then there's also she screams at one point behind a door and then out and is totally normal.
Yeah, I didn't get that scream, although I was really confused by that scream.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in the discussion. We're not yet at the discussion.
We're just beginning.
I must know.
We have not even... The music is, first of all,
amazing.
The music is crazy. But again, we're not talking about the music yet.
We haven't even announced.
We have not even said
what we're fucking doing yet.
Yes, exactly. So they know what we're talking about from context clues and because it says it on the title of the podcast.
They probably already know.
But we are discussing the TOS episode. That means Star Trek, the original series. That means the original Star Trek, not a colon, no colon. Just Star Trek, just like it used to be just Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Not a fucking New Hope.
No.
Star Trek. Mm-hmm. But now, subsequent to the expansion of the franchise.
This human is full of words.
Subsequent to the expansion of the franchise is now Star Trek : the original series, or TOS.
Yes.
From that series.
That's what you say.
From the third season of that series, we are watching Is There, in Truth, No Beauty?
Captain Kirk, we are ready.
Which I think really ought to be rendered Is There, in Truth, No Beauty?
Yeah, I kept writing it like that and having to correct myself. It was a confusing title, like how it was worded.
I'm wondering if the Chirons for 1960s television programs just didn't like to do commas. Maybe commas were just like a, like the chyrons weren't into the chyron. I don't know what you call a chyron writer, the like the person who makes the chyrons, a chyronator.
Chyronator.
I don't think the chyronator liked commas.
It was the 60s, man.
Because you don't see a lot of commas.
You don't need commas.
You see the occasional
60s,
apostrophe,
man.
But I think they try to avoid the apostrophes.
It's about being free.
The question mark in this episode title was probably pushing things.
And for that, he must die.
Anyway,
I always hate when they put, I've mentioned this before, I hate when they put question marks in titles because it makes it difficult to name files. You can name cloud files because they can do whatever they want, but like traditional Windows, and
I think
I'm guessing
you and
Mac
I,
files.
I think
too,
you I and know. I fall right on opposite
Windows and
ends.
MS-DOS and Linux. I'm
Dan,
assuming Linux also has that same issue. I can't remember.
Dan, you and I think fall on just opposite sides of the same little river. We're basically in agreement down by the river.
And the green grass grows all around and around, and the green grass grows all around.
Okay, Dan is now referencing a pre-podcast conversation.
I shall endeavor to keep it under control.
About aggravating songs.
Yeah.
Or at least songs that aggravate
me. With the
me.
Bird in the sky and the sky and the trees and the trees and the floor and the ground and the fly in your mouth and the green grass grows all around and around in the green grass ground all around.
All right, so we'll let him do that, and
I've
then
never heard
there's
that
something so
now.
Very disturbing about her
in
did
theory,
you just make that up?
We don't have to deal with that later in the podcast, so what were we talking about?
We were talking
is there in truth no beauty, commas, apostrophes, question marks.
Two sides of the river.
Yeah, I don't want to mischaracterize your position, but I get that you're annoyed that people have the question mark because it's hard with the file names. I'm cool with the question mark, but I'm aggravated that, yes, a question mark is a wild card and so thus cannot be used in file names and certain other computer-related conventions. And it means I've got to go out of my way to remember to include the question mark in marketing materials, in the name of the podcast, etc.
Our ship's surgeon often makes the same complaint.
Yeah, McCoy does complain about that a lot.
All the time.
Yeah, complains about wild cards.
Wild cards.
Yeah. The thing is a question mark is a very useful punctuation mark, whereas an asterisk is also a wild card, right? Yeah. So you got an asterisk, but it's not such a big deal to not use an asterisk, unless you're doing a podcast about the Thunderbolts asterisk. Am I right?
Thunderbolts?
You want me to do that again?
Well, we allow it.
Okay. Unless that is.
Can we allow that, gentlemen?
You're doing a podcast about the Thunderbolts asterisk.
Thunderbolts asterisk?
Yes, you know, the Marvel movie.
Oh, I never saw the Thunderbolts.
Well, I haven't seen it either. It's still in theaters, but it's not the Thunderbolts. It's the Thunderbolts asterisk. You don't know about the asterisk?
No.
All right. Well, then don't worry about
it. Is it like the
it.
Real Ghostbusters where they had to do something different because there was copyright infringement?
There are spoilers involved.
Oh,
so
yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
All right.
I've decided that I just need to give less of a fuck is what I need to do. Because they always talk about they.
You know what? You're right.
They.
Are you speaking generally?
They. Who's say. They? They say.
What are you talking about?
Who are they?
They are always commenting on how when they have some kind of important thing to do, they do a better job when they don't give a fuck.
I don't know what you're talking about or to whom you were referring.
You know, like when you're auditioning for something, it's like prepare.
I don't think
prepare.
That's true.
You prepare, but like when you go into it, just walk in pretending like I don't care if this works out good or not, because you end up doing better because there's this sort of like manic vibe people can get when they care too much.
Oh, a manic vibe, you say?
Yeah.
You have to go in just wearing underwear.
No, I'm saying you prepare. You still prepare. I'm just saying, you know, you put on proper clothing and shit like that.
So, Dan.
But I'm saying, like, when you go in, don't be like, I gotta get this! I gotta be so good! I gotta be so good! Because then you get manic like that.
I just have to not give a shit. I don't necessarily disagree with the advice you're providding. I'm perhaps a little bit perplexed and confused
pretty,
as to
pretty right
where,
on.
Like, what initiated this, because we were talking about a Star Trek episode, and then seemingly out of the blue, you started talking about they.
And the
audience at home can't see that you keep putting they in little finger quotes and making a crazy smiley face when you say they.
Bullseye, Mr. Spock.
Okay. With that audio clip,
I think it related somehow to what we said, but now I can't remember.
Don't worry about it.
Don't tell me what to do.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about is there, comma, in truth, comma, no beauty.
Comma.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ugliness is within you.
Indeed it is. All right. So this episode is from the third season. And the third season
is a questionable season.
As everybody knows, yeah, it's a bit of a shaky season. Mm-hmm. They came back after being canceled.
Right, that's what the Spock's bringing.
They had much fewer resources, some other constraints. And I think they also decided, let's just go crazy and like hire the craziest directors.
Let's make Spock a remote controlled robot.
And do some crazy story ideas. Yeah. So there's ups and downs in the third season, but there's still plenty of good stuff. And I think, you know, this, it's not like this is the highest rated TOS episode ever, but it generally, I think, is
all right.
Considered a classic in
I
many,
like this
many
episode because it's just so fucking weird.
It's
and like,
weird.
And it's like, it, weird. And there's a lot of shit going on in this episode. I actually made a list of like.
Uh-oh. Did you make a list?
I hey, made Dan, a list.
Good opportunity.
This motherfucker
good,
made a list.
And a good reminder. So let's go over the Dan components.
How many lists? How many
that
lists?
Show up? We got to know.
Thank you.
You already said there's at least one list. So we got to know how many lists. We got to know if there are any duty or no duties.
That's very interesting. I might even say fascinating.
What are some other? What are some other Dan gimmicks?
That's an order.
That's an orders. If there's any, that's an orders.
There's real quick, this line.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I might even say fascinating.
That was a joke. That was a Kirk joke. He was joking about how Spock's always like
fascinating.
That was a Kirk joke.
It was a good. It was a good Kirk joke. The kind of joke that you can do in the third season of a network television
that's
program.
Been going on for a while. They can laugh at themselves. Okay, there's a one duty or no duty.
Ooh.
There are no that's in orders. There's one list. There's two lists.
Ooh.
But we might. Well.
Save is one, is one an actual list or is it just a collection of
there's one
of
a good
bullets.
List and one is one of those lists that you tell us it's a list and then you're like, but it's super shitty and so boring.
And it's got, like, it's got like 15 things on it. I'm going to read
it. Everyone's
going
to be mad if I read this list.
Okay, so.
It's not going to contribute anything to people's general sort of knowledge of Star Trek.
So I kind of have like one small list and one large list. And this large list might, one might say it encompasses like the episode itself, meaning like I don't know if I'd have to do the other list. Hmm. I have a list called There's a Lot Going On in This Episode.
Is it a listicle?
There's 34 points.
Oh my God. Does it include the rampant misogyny?
Okay, so right, so there is a list. There is a list. There
I
is
hope
a.
It does.
I have a whole section on like misogyny.
Oh, that's good. So is that a sub
list? Well, there's a list inside of the section
I'm sure
about
it's
misogyny.
Large.
A list inside.
I have a lot
a
of
list.
Like. I have a lot of quotes of like. Yeah, but the thing about the misogyny in this episode is it seemed like they were making a point of it, and she was purposefully trying to sort of like resist that sort of treatment. So in a way, it was like it was self-aware in a certain
I
way.
I agree
to a certain extent,
but it was,
to a certain extent.
Yeah. Little bit awkwardly presented.
It was awkwardly
especially
presented.
Since so many of the
totally
scenes
weird.
So many of the scenes were Miranda Jones surrounded by men dressed in costumes.
Circle of men.
There was crazy costumes.
There was a whole thing where Kirk was like in order a tactic to distract Miranda so they could get their professional work done. He was going to be like, "Oh, I'll just go have sex with her." You know, basically.
No, he was like I'm going to wave around my Iowan dick.
Yeah.
I'm going to flop my Iowan dick.
My island dick?
Iowan. He's from Iowa.
Oh, Iowan.
I know William Shatner is from Canada.
He's from like
Canadian. So really, it's a Canadian penis, but in the context of the show, Captain Kirk
Canada,
comes from Iowa.
What's the difference? I think it used to be part of Canada.
Difference isn't worth mentioning.
Hey guys, Jesse's the history expert. He's the one who knows all about the history.
Canada,
so.
Iowa.
But yes, that was, yeah, I agree, Dan. It was funny that
it was,
his whole plan was like, I'll get her to fall in love with me and just hop on my penis.
Yeah, and she was resisting it, being like, this, you're
like
fucked
that,
up.
That was the dinner and like Scotty had like that weird like Scottish outfit.
Yeah, he was wearing a kilt.
Mm-hmm.
And like
his fancy uniform involved included a kilt.
Everybody
and a
left.
Sash.
Everybody left but Kirk, and he was still sitting there like drinking like out of those weird little cups. Like,
yeah, and
weird
he's
glasses.
He's all like wanted to drink scotch with Marvik. You know,
yeah. Well, Scotty did, yeah.
Yeah. But Marvick is like, I don't really drink as much as you do.
She got the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Everybody got the hell out of there, and Kirk was just still chilling.
Marvick had other things on his mind.
Larry Marvick.
All right. So to begin with, we got to start. We've got Miranda Jones. Dr. Miranda Jones, which we should emphasize because, again, a lot of misogyny.
I'm Dr. Jones.
They keep referring to Dr. Jones
that's
as
that
a
lady.
As a girl.
Yeah.
That gal, that dame, that skirt.
She's
interestingly,
been another Star Trek.
Yes, so, Diana Muldaur.
Who played Dr. Pulaski.
Dr. Pulaski in season 2 of TNG.
And according to IMDb, she was in an episode or five episodes of Batman the Animated Series where she played Dr. Leslie Tompkins.
There's
another doctor. Stuff, yeah.
She was stereotyped as a doctor, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, this was after TNG. This was 92, 93, so.
And it was also after this.
But yes, that's good. That goes without saying.
Indeed, it does.
That goes without saying.
She's still alive.
Transitive property. She
and
is.
The other guy is still alive. It's like, this is one of those rare episodes.
Is Larry still alive?
Where the
Larry
guests,
Marvick?
The guests on Star Trek are still alive.
Because Shatner is one of the only people
in this
episode
alive, still
alive.
He's still alive, but he's pretty old, yeah. The Larry guy is also still alive.
Larry.
He's like 99 years old.
99?
Yes.
Who?
The guy that, the other
the
guy.
The guy who plays Larry Marvick.
Larry Marvick?
Yeah, the other guy.
Fascinating.
Lawrence Marvick. He goes by Larry. It was just so funny to hear all these space people keep saying the name Larry. Yeah.
Larry Space.
Hey, Larry.
Kevin Kirk was all like, hey, Larry.
Was she supposed to be human?
Yes, she was human.
Yeah. So this is back.
She just had,
so
you know.
This is back in the 60s, right?
Yes.
When it was okay for a human to be like casually telepathic,
yeah,
or
so
whatever.
I was going to. This
possible.
Is. Thank you again, Dan. Dan is so fucking helpful with this checkbox list.
Absolutely.
Here.
Indeed.
Mr. Checkbox.
Because I do have in my checkbox list that. We've discussed previously on the podcast how in the 1960s, there was a period of time where there was a scientific interest in telepathy. So there was all this money being used to investigate telepathy, and there was some belief like, oh, maybe telepathy is a real thing. Now, it's not bad to do science about stuff.
Or like ESP.
And that science was like, you know what? Turns out it's not this. People aren't fucking telepathic. But when Star Trek was on, it was considered a totally reasonable thing to consider from a scientific perspective, just like black holes and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of TOS has telepathy or being psychic or some variation, you know, telekinesis.
But a lot of other Star Trek does too.
Yeah,
it's
but
just
it all,
not humans.
But it comes from TOS,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
TOS is
totally.
Because it was sci-fi that was in churning in that bubble, it stayed with the franchise and became a permanent and frequent component of the franchise.
That's what you want, isn't it?
Groovy.
I'm fine with it either way. It's sometimes it's a little silly.
Yeah.
And in this case, it seems a little bit more silly because, Jesse, you're correct. It's a lot easier in later incarnations of Star Trek to think about Deanna Troi is a Beta Zed. They got some magic doodads in their brain.
She's an empath. That to be empathic means to like feel other people's feelings, but she was literally like, you know, empathic on a telepathic level, but she wasn't telepathic. She was empathic. But like we
use
the
telepathic
word
with other Beta Zeds, though.
Yeah, but like, it's just interesting they call them empaths. But like, empathy is like not the same thing as what Troi was, but it was it was sort of like an offshoot of that. It's just using the same word to mean something slightly different.
Well, it's also the TNG was the 80s, yeah. So just like the 60s had their things going, the 80s had some flavors of philosophical concepts and woo. Were acceptable at the time that maybe...
I rejoice in your knowledge
people have
and in your achievement.
Given up on. But yes, so it is kind of funny that we have this character, Miranda Jones, who is born a telepath. She's a human. She's never been to Earth, so she wasn't born on Earth. But she was born a telepath. We don't know why. That was just presumably something that happened because Spock, Kirk, and everybody, they didn't seem that surprised. They were just like, oh, mm-hmm. Oh, you're born a telepath. That's clever. It's like they said, like, oh, she's left-handed. Oh, yeah. But okay, so Miranda Jones, Dr. Miranda Jones.
Doctor.
Born a telepath, but she's human. And twist, spoiler alert. She can't see.
She can't see.
She cannot see. She is unsighted.
Mm-hmm. She had to wear the visor. Well, she wore the visor as a trick.
Yeah, basically as a gag.
It was interesting that, so they kept referring to Kolos as hideous and ugly, but he was formless. Now, I can't tell if, like, when at first they said formless, I thought of, and they were talking about him being about them being hideous, I was thinking that they were just some kind of, like, slimy blob monster.
Slimy and lumpy.
Now, they don't actually show Kolos, and so...
No, well,
they
could. But
that would have been a liability concern, Dan.
Wait.
If they're showing this as somebody who makes you go insane, that would be a liability.
So I was
like watching the movie In the Mountains of Madness, In the Mouth of Madness. In the Mouth of Madness, the one with Sam Neill.
So I was wondering if the reason that they didn't show Kolos was because in actuality, when they say formless, they mean literally formless, as in they don't have any sort of appearance, or were they actually some kind of blob monster and they just didn't use the special effects to, like, were they leaving it to the imagination? I couldn't tell if it was invisible, if they were supposed to be invisible, or if they didn't show us because they were leaving it to the imagination. Because if they were just invisible, then what's hideous and ugly about that? Unless Kolos is one of those magic mirrors that makes you see your true self, which makes you go insane in all those movies and shows, you know?
Which you're describing is extra fucked up. I was just thinking along the lines of a Lovecraftian Cthulhu type situation where
I can't handle it.
Like, you guys are saying Kolos did have an appearance.
Yes, I think it had an appearance that was dimensionally so horrifying, and it just breaks the perception of the human mind. Mm-hmm. And you can, again, it's a Lovecraftian concept. I'm sure Lovecraft wasn't the first to come
up with
it.
The only way they just tried to display it was through trippy ass, like, flashing
which
green
I loved.
Yeah, like all that.
Because it was freaking me out a bit. Mm-hmm. Although I know they've had the transporters and ships flying through space and all that, but I kind of got the impression that red visor effect at the beginning of the episode when Spock was, like, putting on his red visor, I bet that blew fucking people's minds when they're watching that on their color TV, RCA color TV, and all of a sudden it's like, bloop, everything's
when
red.
It was just like one half of, like, 3D glasses.
Yeah.
This is the red part. Now, the only reason they had that visor, so, okay, if you're a human or a non-telepath or whatever the rules are, you can't even look at the thing.
Can't even look at
but
it.
But if you can
don't even try.
But if you can look at it, for some reason you have to wear a red tinted visor.
Yes.
But the only reason they had that visor in the episode at all was so Spock couldn't put it on later.
Exactly.
And so they could have that little drama near the end. That was the only reason they had that one little part there. Just like I couldn't figure out, there was a lot of shit that seemed like it was just one thing that led to another. Mm-hmm. Like, why was there that whole murder side plot that went nowhere? The only reason that murder plot was there was so that Kolos, whether through jealousy or because Kolos suspected that Marvik was dangerous. I'm not sure why Kolos, like, fucked with Marvik. Was Kolos jealous?
Wait, do you think Kolos fucked with Marvik?
Well, isn't that what happened? Marvik went into the room and the box opened and Kolos went insane.
Marvik, it wasn't Kolos trying to fuck with Marvik. Marvik was trying to murder Kolos, and so he opened the box.
The box just opened by itself.
Because it always opened by itself when somebody came up to it. I guess that's the idea, is like,
I don't remember them. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't remember them
saying
that.
Spock went up
to
the box. It opened up. Miranda Jones, Dr. Miranda Jones went up to the
box.
So is that,
because
I think you had to indicate that you wanted to open.
That would make more sense because, like, I didn't understand what Kolos' motivation for fucking with Marvin.
I don't think he had any motivation.
I couldn't figure out why it was opening. And you're just saying it just opens when you get close to it.
I think the Kolos is sitting in the box, and when somebody comes close, there's, like, some proximity sensor or something. I guess somebody's here to talk to me.
So I always got the impression that it opened when you had to make it open telepathically. Is what I thought, that you had to make it open. Marvik wouldn't have that ability.
Look, that's a reasonable thing to think, and so maybe that's the case. Maybe Kolos was like, hey, here's my opportunity to fuck this guy up. But, like, at the same time, Marvik was there with a phaser. He had a phaser in his hand. He's like, I'm going to zap this formless monster creature who's stolen my girlfriend.
So the only reason that murder plot was in play was so Marvik could be jealous of Kolos, so Marvik would try to kill Kolos, so then Marvik would go insane, so that Marvik would then somehow allow the Enterprise to go past warp 9.5, which I don't know how that's casually possible.
Well, what you're describing is a Star Trek plot, just a regular episode.
Well, but I'm just
things
saying,
happen.
I mean, yeah, so murder plot leads to jealousy, leads to insanity, leads to him accidentally going crazy and making the ship, like, somehow past the galactic barrier, which was just put in there so they could bring, as a reason to bring Kolos out to pilot the ship, which was what caused Spock to get joined with Kolos, which is what then caused Spock to get hurt, which led to the final scene, which then it was all about approaching Miranda's sort of, like, insecurities and jealousies at the very, all these things that happened kind of led to that. But it was confusing in a way because, like I said, this murder plot was just kind of irrelevant. It felt a little clumsily woven in because it just didn't seem to go anywhere.
I don't agree.
Well, the way I felt was that it didn't specifically go anywhere. It was simply used as a device to get to the next portion of the episode. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily bad in all instances, but I'm saying when you have something like a murder plot, I guess my tendency is to think that there's going to be a little more time spent on the murder plot because that's kind of a big deal.
Here's the reason why I don't agree, because I thought that it actually was necessary for multiple components of the story. First, you needed to have somebody go insane, right? You set up this idea that you have an alien that if somebody looks at it, they go insane. And you need somebody to actually go insane so that when Spock later endures like a portion of this, you actually feel a real threat to his life and to his mind, because we've already seen one dude go so insane that he literally just died. His brain was like, you've gone so crazy that looking at that is so crazy, you've just died. So that's one point that I think it's really important to have that murder component. Well, I think the other side...
Well, wait, the murder component simply led to that part, though. It didn't do anything. It wasn't like... There was
no, he looked at the guy. He tried to murder the guy, murder the alien. He didn't murder him. He looked at him, went crazy.
I know.
You need to have at least one person go crazy. But
what I'm saying is, yes, that's kind of what I just said is like the whole reason the murder plot was there was to just get to that point. It didn't go any beyond.
From a dramatic standpoint, in order to feel that Spock is at risk later, you have to have had an example of what would happen to him.
I know. That's what I'm saying is like, yes, he went crazy. Spock's in danger, but the murder plot never ever threatened Spock at any point. And the murder plot had nothing to do with anything. It was just a device to get from point A to point B, and then they forgot about the whole thing.
But you've interrupted me in the middle of my point.
Well, you interrupted me in the middle of my point earlier.
I totally didn't.
Shit. Yes, you did earlier. I was talking. You interrupted me, but I thought it was okay.
Okay, whatever. What is now interrupting this point is we have to take a break, but when we come back, I will say the second part of the point that relates to the murder plot, and we'll see if Dan comes around to my side,
you guys,
or if he walks over here and gives
clocks
me square in the fucking jaw. We'll be.
Now wait a minute,
fuck jaw.
We will be right back.
Do call when you are ready.
Kirk out.
And we're back.
Senator Uhura, open a channel to all decks.
To all decks.
Okay, so my argument was that the murder. Which often when murder is part of an episode, it's more of a focus of the...
I wasn't even... Did he do something annoying again?
He just started...
I was grabbing my beer, I wasn't paying attention to him.
He just did the thing where he was like, repeated the last word I said in some dramatic fashion.
Oh, this thing. That is right.
He was doing that last week, too.
Yeah, and I think I've noticed that Jesse tends to do the whole hype man business in the second break.
Yeah, okay.
It's like something about the second break. He's like, it's time to be a hype man. He's just saying things over and over again.
I was saying that usually when there's murder involved... Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess I had that coming. And I did say I wasn't going to give a shit, right? So fuck me.
Meldare. Who said anything about Meldare?
That's a quote from an obscure movie called Once Upon a Crime. Brilliant movie.
I definitely know of that movie.
Directed by Eugene Levy, starring John Candy, Jim Belushi, and a number of other folks.
That's okay. Wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Great movie. Great movie. It involves a dachshund. It's got... Richard, what's his name from Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know? Richard Lewis?
I think I understand.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Dan's argument was...
My argument was that... when homicide is part of an episode, it gets more of the focus of the plot. Homicide. In this case, I'm... Seriously, please. Please, Jesse.
See, that was different. That was like a different hologram joke.
I know.
Like, homicide?
Holograms?
Holograms?
All right. That usually it's a bigger part of the episode, but in this case, I felt it was simply a device to get from point A to point B. Point A being like, we need to get to the next part of the plot. Point B, the next part of the plot was watching some guy and go insane, which would then lead to the rest of the shit. Because of course, someone has to go insane because they introduced it. Yeah. I'm just saying that the murder kind of like led to that. Okay. And that's its only function.
All right,
that was my recap.
Okay,
it was your second or third recap.
We had to recap it when we came back from the break, and I had to do it a couple times because I kept getting distracted.
You kept getting interrupted.
But Dan, it's shorter for the audience than for us.
What do you mean?
Like, the break is a long time for us. The audience, they just heard all this.
Yeah, but one day we're going to have commercials, right?
One day we'll have commercials. Yeah. One day. No, we're just going to have sponsorships.
Okay.
No commercials.
We'll do reads. Yeah. We'll do funny reads.
Yeah. What don't you think, Jesse?
Whenever we get commercials, we're not going to like have commercials on like episode. This will be like so far in the past.
But they're evergreen.
They are evergreen. Well, just squeeze them right in there.
They're squeeze them up.
Just shove them up.
Are they squeeze them ups, Patrick?
I don't know, Dan.
Okay, what is your point?
My point that's going to totally ruin your whole argument.
I must know.
I hesitate to even. I hesitate to even bring it up because you're such a dear, an old friend. And I don't want to just.
Insanity will surely be the result, Captain.
I don't want to just sort of publicly humiliate you.
I shall endeavor to keep it under control.
But that those caveats aside, my other point about the murder is that it.
Jesse didn't do it for you.
Also.
He didn't go like murder.
Well, maybe I'm not as funny. You know? Maybe my intonation, my Jeffrey Tambor.
Tambor.
Certainly.
So the other function that the murder serves, in addition to creating a scenario in which Larry can go insane.
Larry.
It's also...
Fuck you, Larry!
Speaking of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It also helps set up and define and make us better understand as the audience that... Miranda has these emotional issues, that she's suppressed her emotions and that it's related to her not being able to process other people's all the other emotions that other people feel with her telepathy. And she went to Vulcan to learn the Vulcan ways in order to maintain or craft some sort of bubble of sanity.
Bubble.
And a side effect of this, at least from her perception, is that she can't or doesn't want to have what I don't know what terms Kirk was using about, you know, you're going to want to find somebody who looks like you.
Oh, right.
You're going to want to touch. You want to touch the flesh of somebody else.
You want to touch the flesh of the person.
You're going to get tired of these ugly light.
Everybody was just ready to bone this girl.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
For real.
It was weird. But that's the thing. He goes, you mustn't blame. I didn't think that someday. Someday you will want human love and companionship. A meeting of minds is all very well, but what about love? You're young, attractive, and human. Like, there's a lot of assumptions.
A lot of assumptions. But. Certainly from his perspective, he thought they were accurate. I don't know exactly what the writers were thinking. But anyway, the point is that we see everyone is horny for this person.
Larry
is so horny that he's willing to murder somebody.
And I think we
need to see that to understand that she can't. She states it outright later, but where it's like, okay, this guy is so in love with her and she's just like, I'm not. That's not the deal.
Right. So.
And he doesn't care.
I guess my point was that I don't think they. I think going for murder was a little bit overboard.
Sorry, I really wanted to say murder, but then I was like, that would not be kind.
I thought that they could have done all that without going to murder. When somebody brings up murder in an episode, my brain immediately thinks. Seriously. Now,
I enjoyed that, and you guys,
when I say like you guys gang up on me, I like apologize for that. And I was like, you know, I shouldn't be like putting this on you guys. And you guys are what? But when it fucking doesn't happen, when it specifically happens for me and you guys are doing it together, that's teamwork right there. That's fucking teamwork on you guys.
Not teamwork. No, we haven't coordinated. It's kismet.
You're just trying to push buttons. You know, because I've mentioned in the past, you know, it's a button that you can press. And so.
Okay, again, for the audience, Jesse is just smiling and nodding.
Yeah.
He's just nodding vigorously. And further enraging Dan, justifiably. All right.
So, I'm going to repeat myself because that's the only choice I have when I get interrupted is to repeat myself. And then Patrick goes, you already said it like 3 or 4 times, Dan. Oh, boogity, boogity, boogity.
Hey Dan.
I like his impressions of me.
Hey Dan.
But like, I'm saying like they could have done all of that without resorting to such a violent act, because when they do that in an episode, it makes me immediately think, maybe mistakenly, but it makes me think when such a drastic thing comes into an episode, it makes me think, oh, this episode's gonna be like kind of about murder, but it really wasn't. But I understand you're correct that it did bring up those points in the episode. It's true. I think that maybe they didn't have to jump to murder.
Yeah.
But
he could have just tried to rough this alien up.
Yeah, just rough him up.
Just sort of like give him a bit of the old what fur.
Yeah, be like
smack the side of that box around.
Yeah, but then, like, listen,
but then he goes insane.
Right. So
starts screaming.
I wasn't clear if obviously she wasn't. I mean,
well, you clearly aren't a Scientologist.
She wasn't.
Get it?
What?
Okay, sorry. That was a bit
clear.
Obscure.
He wasn't clear.
Dan said he wasn't clear. So here, you're not. You haven't gotten rid of your like level three thetans.
That's good.
Anyway, I've been workshopping some extremely sophisticated humor.
You know, I'm gonna have to take you away. But first, I gotta read you your rights. Your Miranda rights.
Oh, all right.
Miranda.
Yeah.
Miranda Jones writes.
Is this where I'm supposed to bring up the trivia about the name Miranda?
No. Actually, I was briefly going to mention that I wasn't entirely sure if she returned Marvick's feelings at all, and she was just like kind of like I'm beyond that, or if she was like totally not interested at all.
I think she was totally not interested, but she wasn't being cruel about it. I think she was frustrated, and
that guy's annoying.
And to go back to, I forget, one of you was making the point that, maybe it was you, Dan, that yes, there was a lot of misogyny in this episode, but it also seemed to be self-aware and sort of calling out some of that misogyny.
That was the point that he made.
Yeah, yeah. This might be an example of that because that's something that women have to deal with frequently, they're like, I don't hate this person. I'm just aggravated that they're like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah,
and you're like, I don't like you.
Yeah, and she was
trying to just hang out.
And like, their time has to be spent like being like soothing men's egos because he freaks out and says, why don't you try being a woman for a change? It's like, what does that mean? Someone will match the fire of his fervor, like someone who will respond to him in some way.
Why don't you try being a filly?
Like
someone
who can play this emotional dance with him? Like, what was he expecting from her? Did he expect her to like him? Or did he expect her to be like emotional? Like, what was he looking for from her if it wasn't just that she returns the favor? Does it mean like being a woman means liking him when he likes her, or does it mean like she shouldn't be so like flat in her response? Like, I don't know what he, you know, that was such a
knows?
It's like a typical thing, like that you
maybe he liked her because she couldn't like him back. Maybe that inaccessibility is precisely what Larry.
But like when you say like
fall in love with
but
her.
It's like when you say why don't you try being a woman? Yeah. I think he was expecting her to be like more emotional or something, you know, in general, somehow, I guess. And she was too logical for him or something like that. I don't know.
It wasn't entirely
clear. And it's
clear.
Like kind of ridiculous because, yeah, like you said, like she has to spend all this time like trying to like make sure men don't freak out around her, which literally happened. He literally went insane.
Yes.
Like her presence on that ship, all the men like, start going
insane. Well, that's why I'm really
her.
Curious. That's why I'm really curious about how intentional this was by the writers, because if it's intentional, it's very clever, particularly for the context of the 60s and the limitations constraints.
Right. That's the only reason I wonder sometimes.
It's like, was it kind of snuck in there, or was it more of an accidental thing? Is it something that we're seeing more with modern eyes? I don't know. And if you
modernize your modern eyes.
If you have an opinion on this,
right on,
write into feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Subject line, whatever you like.
It's not feedback.
I think that could be arranged.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I don't know. You were talking about Miranda.
Yeah.
The name.
Well,
origin.
I thought this is a good. We're almost halfway through the episode.
I do have a list. I don't know if we really want to go through this long ass list.
We're going to go through seven. You have two lists, don't you?
Yeah. I have a
duty or no.
Well, how about this? We'll do the smaller list in a second. I'll do some trivia here. You do a smaller list, and then we'll see where that gets us. And then the bigger list, maybe that can help us wrap up the show.
Maybe you can do
that.
Because it makes us, you said it's comprehensive. Maybe it'll make it so we don't miss any points. But
maybe
we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget that duty or no duty.
No, we don't.
All right. So I'll start with some some Miranda facts.
Remember or don't remember.
Okay. So the name Miranda should trigger something in people because they're like, oh, where have I heard that before? You've heard it many places. It's not that uncommon in it. But in mythology, in literature, the two main places you see it are, you see Miranda as one of the three graces in, you know, the old Greek tales.
Word.
Yeah, you got the three graces, they're sisters, usually sisters, and usually they're named Miranda, Delia, and Marlena.
Marlena.
And we've seen Marlena has been a character in Star Trek before.
Yeah.
That's one characteristic that maybe Miranda's related to that, but more likely Miranda's related to Shakespeare's The Tempest, because Miranda is Prospero's daughter. And The Tempest. Is a wild Shakespeare play. It's one of his like later plays. It's wild. Good play. You should go check it out if you ever have the opportunity.
Freaky diggy.
Yeah. The interesting thing about The Tempest is itself the basis for Forbidden Planet, which is that 1956 movie, I think.
Crazy soundtrack.
It's a sci-fi movie. It's one of the earlier sci-fi movies, and Gene Roddenberry Gene Roddenberry has stated that it is one of the key inspirations for Star Trek.
Wow.
Because he was able to see how they did the sets and the concept and how they were taking it's just a remake of The Tempest, except set in a sci-fi environment. Huh. And so The Tempest goes to Forbidden Planet, which goes to Star Trek, which goes to now we have a character named Miranda.
Miranda.
And she's dealing with a weird creature. It's
and
not
her
exactly
name
like The
is
Tempest.
Miranda.
Everybody's being creepy. What were they what was that blue shit they were drinking?
Antarin brandy. It looked like Romulan ale, but it was in fact Antarin brandy.
It was in such a dainty glass.
It's probably the same difference between schnapps and grappa, because grappa is schnapps made out of grape skins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is made of Andorra.
I believe I've had grappa. It doesn't taste nearly as good as one thinks it would. At least to me.
I dig it. You gotta have.
It's got a neutral sort of taste.
There's different types of grappa.
I don't know. I had some grappa that was like strong as fuck. And like it was like bitter and
strong. It shouldn't be bitter. Yeah. You had some bad grappa.
I don't know, because it's made from like grape stems.
You had some crazy.
No,
grape. That's not
you
grappa.
Got some kind of West Virginia grappa.
Grappa is made primarily from the stomped grapes. You know, the grape skins that are left over after they stomp.
Or maybe
the
that's
grapes
what. Wait a second.
For wine, they use that to make the
okay
the
grappa,
schnapps.
An Italian spirit, is produced from grape pomace, which includes the stems, skins, seeds, and pulp.
Yeah,
it's, so yeah, it comes from the whole stomp. That's what I'm saying. It's made from stems and skins and all. Yeah. It's made from all the shit. And I seem to remember like it was the flavor was not. It kind of reminded me of like sake, not in the flavor. It didn't taste like sake, but I'm saying it something that was surprisingly stronger than I expected it to be. I guess.
Well, it's unfortunate because I think you may have had an off brand of grappa. Because grappa should be sweet. It should be tasty.
I had it
it's
at
a
restaurant
schnapps.
I was working at.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have that.
It's a light sort of sweet.
Didn't you? Did you maybe have that? There's like that Greek stuff that's made out of like pine tar or whatever. And it's like wild and that's bitter and weird. I forget what that stuff is called. Back at the ranch.
I don't know, man.
I don't know what to tell you. I have grappa all the time. It's a tasty drink. It shouldn't be bitter.
It's
all
right, dude.
You should not have bitter grappa.
It's not bad.
Let us know.
Tuscany Tour Time says this spirit is clear in color, potent and dry, with a flavor profile somewhat similar to cognac.
Yes.
So
cognac
I'm saying
is also tasty.
Yeah. So when I thought
cognac's not
so
bitter.
When I thought well, okay, bitter's the wrong word, but what I'm saying is like when I said it's stronger than I expected, meaning like grappa didn't taste like some like red wine. It tasted it had
no,
it,
it's
had,
40, 45%.
Yeah, that's what
alcohol.
I'm saying. It had a strong kick to it. It was a lot stronger than I expected.
Okay.
That's all I was saying. It's not bitter. I used bitter is the wrong word. So that was my bad.
All right.
Well, My bad.
I'm glad.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear that.
My bad.
Okay, good. So, okay. Miranda. And Miranda Jones, Dr. Miranda Jones, she's a psychologist.
Yeah, she is a psychologist. She's a doctor.
Did you know that? She's a psychologist.
I didn't know. I didn't remember that part from the episode.
You said she's Welsh?
Well, Jones is a Welsh name.
That's true. Jones
pretty
is
common
a,
name.
She seems more American.
Well, Jones is a very Welsh name. Jesse's right about that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
like Tom Jones.
But it's like a very common name in the U.S.
It is,
so it's like
because Welsh heritage is very common.
Okay, but what I'm saying is it's not like she's specific.
She's American.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, she's not American.
American.
She's not American.
You're talking about Diana Muldaur? Or are you talking about the character
I don't wanna,
of Miranda
I don't,
Jones?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's keep talking about whatever we were talking about.
It was a misstep.
We were talking about, is there...
Podcast misstep.
Is there, in truth, no beauty?
I don't know. Is there?
All right. Well, that is the question we're trying to answer. It is funny because that's the title of the episode, yet it's probably one of the smallest moral points they make throughout this episode, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or what is ugly. Kirk gets into this whole like weird awkward thing where he's like talking shit about this ambassador that she's clearly friends with. He's like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. I just referred to him as being a hideous, ugly creature.
He's just hideous.
Yeah, I liked when they talk about how it's assumed beautiful things are good and ugly things are bad, and we still do that to this day. Yeah. Like demons, monsters in movies always have like sharp teeth and they're always all spiky eyebrows.
Nasty
and like
mouths.
There's a very specific way they make bad things look to this day in movies. And I was like, there needs to be more movies where like the monsters are actually squishy, cuddly things.
Like Shrek.
Yeah. But Shrek is kind of lovable looking in a way. Guy. But he does have that sort of...
He's lovable because you get to know
him. But I'm talking about
him.
Something that looks like one of those terror dogs from Ghostbusters and needs to be all snuggly or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh.
Spock was talking about... he was talking at one point, he's like, what humans fail to understand is that like you need to learn how to block the bedlam and mayhem of other people's minds. Like, when you have telepathic powers, and everyone is like... And she was like, I need to learn how to block people's memories out, not just learn how to read them, but to block them out. And everyone was like, what? And Spock's talking about like how he's like, most people fail to grasp that, you need to block it out too. I don't think it's that hard of a concept to grasp.
No.
It's like, oh yeah, a million voices coming...
If you have it, you have to. That's like something you're going to figure out early on.
Yeah, like, and if somebody explains it to you, it's like, yeah, there's a million voices coming into your head at once. I think it's pretty easy to pick that up. Be like, oh yeah, that would be fucking sucky. But Spock makes it out like humans just don't get it.
No.
You know, it's like you never tried to explain
if
it.
If you
to
got
us.
Telepathy, you get it.
Yeah, we get. Or if even if you don't have telepathy and you explain it briefly, if you say, imagine a million people were talking to your brain at the same time. That's what it's like. People would immediately be like, yes, that sounds like it sucks. And like, and Spock made it out as if it was this big complicated thing that humans are just so stupid they don't get it. Like,
Spock's kind of a
like,
sucker.
Maybe they didn't think about it maybe it didn't occur to them at first, but all you have to do is explain it, Spock. And I just think he didn't explain it. I just think he's looking for a reason to shit on people.
He's a bit of a Bama.
This is 1969, and I think Spock was not speaking to you, Dan. I think Spock was talking to the NBC Friday night audience.
Yeah. I think that most people...
Was this a Friday
show?
I think at this time it was shifted to Friday.
I think if you tell most anyone in the world, imagine a million people talking in your brain at once, I think just about everyone could grasp that would be problematic.
I don't disagree with
you. Everybody just watched the news where like a bunch of people were like dying in Vietnam and shit.
I don't disagree with you, Dan, but it is something that we could test out. We could reach out
and then Star Trek
to a number of people. I don't know what appropriate sample size would be, maybe 1,024, 1,060, something like that, and ask them. And I bet you're right. I bet the vast majority would say, you know what? In fact, it could be one of the options. We could have multiple choice, and one of the choices could be, would that be a problem?
Yeah, if 100 people tried to speak directly into your brain at the same time.
It would be A, it'd be fine. B, it'd be great.
Right.
C, it might be a problem.
Right, right.
I bet a lot of people would say C. But you never know. We have to experiment to find out.
Well, do we want to do a shorter list I have of like sort of like...
Do it.
I do want to do that shorter list.
Uh-oh. But you want to do something else first?
No.
That's fine.
No,
do
no.
It.
It's not doing something else first. It's simply asking you if any part of this list references the fact that Larry's uniform is pretty rad.
Nope, it does not.
Because Larry's got a Wesley Crusher
it's
style.
It's like a proto Wesley Crusher.
It's like a proto fucking Wesley Crusher. It's got this like weird like red stripe on it.
Right.
I was like, why does this guy wear this crazy outfit? Is this civilian outfit? I don't know. All right. I guess that wasn't on your list.
That's where they got that.
Which is
Wesley
good
Crusher
because it means
shit,
I haven't used up one of your list items.
Yeah. No, you haven't. I have actually two smaller lists. One of them is about like examples of Miranda being insecure, and another is an example of the treatment of women in this episode.
All right.
I don't know if which one you want to go
hey,
for.
Hey, let's go for the baby. Treatment of women. Why don't we have some fun here?
Have some fun.
Who better than three middle-aged white men?
Yeah, right.
To hold the torch of feminism.
Right, exactly.
Marching ever forward. A few steps back, but you know, then forward.
So one is Kirk goes, I can't understand why they let you with Kalos. And Miranda goes, they, Captain? And he goes, the male population of the Federation. Yeah. Didn't someone try to talk you out of it? Is this a comment on the insecurity of men when it comes to women? Like, was this an episode where the episode was self-aware here?
I don't know.
It was confusing because the implication was that it was a twofold implication that Kirk was flirting with her.
That's some usual Kirk.
That he was flirting with her by stating, why did the entirety of the men, the penis having people, not physically restrain you
because they wanted
taking,
you
from taking a job because they wanted to sexually own you.
Right.
This is the hottest shit.
How is it
Federation?
Possible that an entire planet did not prevent you from taking that job?
So anymore? You say not self-aware.
Ambassador because Kolos, no fucking way.
I don't know about that particular line. I don't know. I found it was a little confusing.
It was confusing because, like, exactly.
Yeah.
So, another one. This part was weird when McCoy goes to Miranda Jones, the loveliest human to ever grace a starship, and then he goes that line where he goes,
"How can one so beautiful condemn herself to look upon ugliness the rest of her life?"
And then he's like, will we allow it, gentlemen? Which is, I guess, is something they said in the 60s that I've never heard before.
Right.
When he said that weird toast thing.
I think that's the kind of classic thing.
Some
kind
of Camelot shit.
Yeah, because they think it's being chivalrous.
Right.
They think they're being nice when actually it's indicating that you have control over this woman's life and her choices.
And this is where I think they were self-aware, because her response.
How can one so full of joy and the love of life as you, doctor, condemn yourself to look upon disease and suffering for the rest of your life?
And what she's talking about, those...
Can we allow that, gentlemen?
Those famously warty Starfleet penises. Because of all those Starfleet penises.
STDs.
Yeah, but they're like alien business. And McCoy's popping pussy pustules all day in and day out.
So it seemed like she took some offense to his statement, because this assumption that her beauty must be her greatest asset or something like
that. She definitely did, I'm sure we were supposed to respect that, but at the same time, I don't know if it was supposed to be like respected as in that gal has spunk. Versus she's 100% correct and these guys are assholes. I don't know exactly
what
the writers want us to think.
Okay, Bones goes, are you sure you're well enough to find your way alone? And she goes, of course, Dr. McCoy, please don't worry about me. And then
it's because he cottoned on to the fact that she's blind.
And then it wasn't through some like physical that he gave her. He's a doctor. He just figured it out.
Because he knew at that point. That's why he was saying that's why he said to find your way back.
She goes, of course, Dr. McCoy, please don't worry about me. And then he kisses her hand. Yeah. And which I must... Okay, first of all, you could say that that's just his southern charm, but McCoy always has this sort of... He always subtly hits on women often, I feel, in these
Dax
shows.
Said he had a surgeon's fingers or a doctor's fingers.
Yeah, that's right. So
Dax implied that she was fingered by Dr. McCoy.
Right. So I can't tell if...
Don't forget.
I can't tell if this is just Bones' southern charm.
That was a different Dax.
Because he often seems like he's sort of subtly hit... Not very subtly, but he kind of hits on women throughout different episodes. But anyways... Then he goes, when she leaves, he goes, now where I come from, that's what we call a lady, you know? You know?
It's this
men's treatment of women that's considered complimentary to them, but it can be construed as condescending. It's like admiring something that was molded, like a statue, right? Whereas men are thought of the ones that do the molding. You know what I mean? That's the whole male gaze situation kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it was so blatant in this episode, and this episode seemed so much about how strong Dr. Jones was that it's confusing that they would have all of this, like...
Dr. Jones?
All of this, like...
it was weird.
It was weird that they had all these instances of men sort of being sexually biased towards women if they weren't trying to make a point about it. You know, it'd be weird that there were so many examples of this... If the writers weren't trying to make a point that it's fucked up. But then again, maybe it's just more apparent in this episode because she's such a strong character.
I think part of it is that makes it interesting is that if we take the hypothesis and run with it that the intention is to make these guys all look like assholes. Mm-hmm. What's weird about it is that it's unusual on Star Trek for them to make our main characters look like assholes in this fashion. And I think that's why it's kind of like, is that what they were trying to do? Mm-hmm. Or were they saying that the guys were being like charmy, goofy guys? They're not like right, but they're not like assholes.
Right.
So that's what I don't know. I actually would give it a great amount of respect, and I would prefer to interpret it as, the episode's pointing out that even these characters we know and love are all talking about Miranda Jones in very gendered terms, and calling her girl, being overprotective, being worried about her. And then Spock is all talking about jealousy. Now, he doesn't specify that it's purely female jealousy. Mm-hmm. And you could always argue that, certainly would argue that men are just as jealous, if not more so than women. But the way Spock said it, it definitely felt like he was in a gendered context.
So this one definitely seems like it doesn't seem self-aware of the writers. This goes after it's just Kirk and Bones. And Kirk goes, Bones, what's troubling you with the girl? As you were just saying.
Yeah, the girl.
Bones goes, well, she's not just another girl, Captain. Don't make that mistake. And it's like, okay, well, there's some hope there. And Kirk goes, I don't think that for a moment. What else? He goes, I don't know what it is exactly. She seems very vulnerable. And then Kirk goes, we're all vulnerable in one way or another. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. And Bones goes, of course. But there's something so very disturbing about her. And then Kirk goes, meaning she's quite a woman. I agree.
Yeah, the Kirk part is weird.
Yeah.
And McCoy is making very good good points. There's something odd about this bird.
Odd about this bird.
Bird. About this
bird.
Skirt.
He ate my bird.
Yeah. All right. How many more? I don't want to, because we're coming up on a break and I want to make sure we get through your lists.
So. Yeah. So I guess I'll just, the one, this exchange between Kirk and Miranda in the flower scene when he goes, you mustn't blame yourself because Marvick loved you, which is, and it's an assumption that she's blaming herself that he's making.
I don't think she's blaming herself at all.
And then she goes, I didn't want his love. I couldn't return it. And then Kirk goes, but someday you'll want human love and companionship. Mm. Another assumption Kirk is making. Mm-hmm. Then Kirk goes, a meeting of minds is all very well, but what about love, Miranda? You're young, attractive, and human. Wow, that's kind
what
of...
What about Captain Kirk?
That's more than just an assumption. That's, you know, an assertion. Then he goes, sooner or later, no matter how beautiful their minds are, you're going to yearn for someone who looks like yourself. Someone who isn't ugly. That's just too much.
Yeah.
Someone who isn't ugly. That doesn't even sound like Kirk saying...
No, I agree. It sounds out of character for him to say it. And he's never seen these people.
Right.
And I always thought it was weird to set it up that they're so ugly and they just wanted to use the term Medusan because they're using Miranda from the Tempest and the all that other business and the Greek business. And now they got the Medusans and they're
the
like, Medusan
oblongatas.
Yeah. So I agree. A little bit out of character for Kirk.
And it's just so on the nose when he says someone who isn't ugly because they're talking about hideous and ugliness. And it's just so on the nose.
I think this
it didn't seem natural.
This is a characteristic of the third season, a common characteristic, I think, of the third season where there's some good ideas, but sometimes it's like they needed a couple extra rounds of drafting or something just to clean some things up a bit. All right. So we have to take another break. So we're going to do that. And then when we get back, we will conclude our discussion of Is There, in Truth, No Beauty?
Whoa.
Be right back.
I think you better leave now.
Please go away.
And we're back. Hey.
Back.
Channel open, sir.
All right.
We've already entered the void. The void.
Can you play that again?
The void.
We entered.
Position is so close to the point where we entered the void.
There's no point in
this is my
kicking
voice.
About it. The void. We enter the void.
Spock. Hey, dance.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey,
Jesse, what are you doing?
Hey, what are you doing, Dan?
What are you doing over there?
What are you doing?
Why do you make those noises like that sometimes? It's pretty funny, but sometimes it's kind of weird.
Hey, Dan, why don't you shut up?
Why did you say that to me, Jesse? I was just trying to be your friend.
All right, Dan. I sensed a point was being made prior to
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to mention real quick, I felt bad for Spock at one point in this episode when, because there was the whole thing where he was wearing the Vulcan Idic.
Yes, and infinite diversity and infinite combinations.
By the way, that part at the end when she goes, the glory of creation is in infinite diversity, and Spock goes, and the ways are differences combined to create meaning and beauty. That's such a wonderful way of looking at everything.
It's
like
a great
difference.
Philosophy.
The
difference,
positive. Difference isn't bad. Difference is what makes things better. You know,
it's so, flavor.
Difference is what drives all life fundamentally.
Yeah, change. Change is what drives everything.
Yeah, change. But change is a result of energy gradients. It's as simple as that. If you have a difference in energy states, there needs to be an equalization, and that churns and produces
everything. It's like if you're hanging off a wire, it doesn't do anything, but then when you touch something with a different energy level, it's that change in the different levels which causes things to happen.
Hell yeah, dude.
And that's applicable to just about everything from human life to electricity.
I love hearing you talk like this. It's getting me real fucking high.
It's like philosophically can like guide everything.
I agree with you. I think it's a really well stated summary of basically all of Star Trek. All of the best of Star Trek is very, very nicely encapsulated by that exchange between Miranda and Spock.
But so Spock is meant it to be an honor her, but her insecurity interpreted it as an attempt of him trying to throw his abilities in her face. Yeah. Which is an interesting how there's two ways to look at something. And then I felt bad for Spock because like later Kirk's like, you look great, and he's like, I generally intended to honor her. You know, it almost seemed like that's as bummed out as Spock's ever been. in. He's like, yeah. It's like he felt bad. It's like, I didn't mean to cause any offense. Right. I was just trying to be like, you know, show her that she's like, cool.
You guys were assholes.
Yeah.
Although from a meta perspective, what is funny about this whole edict symbol showing up twice in two different forms, by the way, because earlier in the episode, he's wearing an edict pin. And then at the end of the episode, he's just wearing a big ass fucking edict pendant, like a fucking, you know, medallion. Is that
patch pin or pad?
Is patch pin or pad.
In the third season, Gene Roddenberry was desperate to merchandise as much as possible. And so one of the things he wanted to merchandise was like the whole edict thing.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I mean, he still meant it, but it was just kind of funny that because of the way capitalism works.
I mean, I guess
works,
if it gets the word out, like, that's good, but it's, it kind of gets tainted.
But just think about how many capitalistic enterprises, like
Starship Enterprises,
sell an idea,
right,
but to sell it,
right.
And it's like edict is such a brilliant and beautiful idea,
mm-hmm,
and then it's largely the result of Gene Roddenberry desperately want to be like, I can make money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I think, a million other examples. Like Andor is a good example. Disney is like one of the most corporate corporations ever, and then they produce a show like Andor, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then also about her insecurity, Kirk was accusing Miranda's jealousy for the reason to why she wasn't rushing to bring Spock back to life. But she did say a line at the end. It was something about dying. It was, what is that line? This is right after Kirk leaves. She's about to like communicate with Spock. She goes, "Now, Spock, this is to the death or to life for both of us," which implies that it wasn't just her jealousy that prevented her from bringing Spock back. Like, this was a dangerous operation she was performing. So, you know, she's probably worried about her health a little bit.
It was a little inconsistently presented.
By the way, that whole scene, I think I counted like 17 mugshots of Miranda's face in that montage, that crazy montage.
You mean with the madness cam? I called it madness cam. Yeah. It was like a fisheye lens.
Yeah, there was different lenses.
And I'll zoom in on the face.
It was like 17 different shots of her face, all different lenses mixed in with other shit. That was so weird. And to cap it off with like Spock trying to like mind meld with her back, and then like that was like if like the crazy green light flashing scene with Marvik wasn't like crazy enough, this shit at the end was just like,
oh, it was
what the fuck.
It was the ultimate insanity.
It was amazing. And
it was the 60s,
and then it was also like, how much did they know about Beyond Our Galaxy back then? Because like apparently according to Star Trek, Beyond Our Galaxy in space with a bunch of other galaxies, there's this weird, it almost looks interdimensional outside of our galaxy with these weird bluish,
they're always popping
trippy shit.
I think it's a helpful reminder to know that.
Like, how much did they know about that ship?
Yeah.
They must have known that Beyond Our Galaxy
how
is
much
just,
do you know?
They must have known back then that beyond our own galaxy, there's just more galaxies.
This was only a few decades after we understood that there were other galaxies. There.
Right. So
Hubble was one of the ones who helped discover that. And prior to that, humans had figured out, okay, we're like living in amongst a bunch of different stars, but they thought that was it.
So,
they thought the Milky Way was the universe.
So instead of like what we now sort of believe, which is, this is an oversimplification, but it's kind of like more of the same. It's not more of the same, but
But everyone, you can tune into our patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek. We're going to start recording Dan's simplifications.
Yes.
Dan's simplification of the universe.
Simplification number one, Beyond Our Galaxy, it's just kind of more of the same.
Yeah.
But back then, apparently,
it's
they...
It's just more galaxy.
But
no stars.
But back then, they thought that it was some crazy other dimension beyond our own galaxy. Or
Who knows?
Who knows? But like... How fast could warp drive go? Like,
fast as the plot needs to take.
Yeah, because can a madman like accidentally drive it beyond the galactic barrier? I thought the galactic barrier was hard to cross.
They did it a couple times.
They're always doing that.
But you can... But accidentally, don't you need some skill to do that?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
It just happens.
Apparently you go warp 10, you have sex with the salamander. You turn into salamander people and have sex with your crewmates.
Didn't Spock sound like he had a cold this episode? I felt like Leonard Nimoy sounded like he had a
Leonard
cold.
Leonard Nimoy?
That I don't know.
That you don't
Leonard
know.
Leonard Nimoy.
I know is that he enunciated things so clearly, especially when he was mind-melded.
He's a class act.
With colas.
Yeah. Oh, should I go over that other list? It's kind of a long list.
Well, maybe if we missed anything. I was going to comment on the whole mind meld thing, because I found it interesting that they didn't make it more explicit, although it's strongly implied that when Spock reaches up to mind meld with her, that's the ultimate resolution in that so much of her insecurity and jealousy and concern was related to the fact that Spock was able to see Kolos and sort of interact with Kolos in a way that she was not able to. But by mind melding with her, they stated clearly they've shared thoughts, they've shared experiences. Spock has become better for it. He understands things from her perspective more. But by implication, she now has seen what Kolos looks like, because Spock has basically given her that gift, right? Because he's mind melded with her.
He's got weird colors.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
And so in addition to the whole stabilizing the mind, reducing the madness or whatever, he was able to convey to her what he actually looks like in a way that presumably did not make her go insane. It had the opposite effect. So I thought that was cool. And I respect that they respected the audience enough to figure that out. On the other hand, maybe it would have been helpful to be like a little bit more overt about that, to say, you know, say you gave me a gift or whatever.
I didn't even pick up on that. Yeah.
Live long and prosper, Miranda.
I'm trying to find the part where he like sounded like he had a cold.
You depend on it for so very much.
Oh, I thought that was
good. But is any one of you really its master?
Weird Kolos musings.
And he has a weird accent. He's like, is any of you really its master?
Master. Our ship's surgeon often makes the same complaint.
Doesn't he sound like he has a cold?
That sounds a little stuffed up.
One more time.
Our ship's surgeon often makes the same complaint.
He sounds like and there's a couple other lines I'm not going to look for, but get like that was soup, one of them.
Dog. How about a duty or no duty?
A duty or no duty. Okay. Duty or no duty.
Yeah, we don't have a theme. Oh, no, we do have a theme song for duty or no duty. We just never play it.
Yeah, why do
we have a couple of theme songs?
Is it called do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do
Yeah, yeah. No, it's exactly.
Or is it like no duty?
Here's exactly. While you're looking for that, here's some Kirk deliveries.
If you don't reach him soon, he'll die. If he dies, how do I know that I didn't kill him?
How do I know that I didn't kill him?
Oh, wait. Did any of you pick up on the sitcom moment in this episode? Did you ever?
Now I want to hear it.
Okay. The part where he goes here. Wait. This moment. I'll play. There's like I have it split into four sounds. This part.
And Uhura, whose name means freedom, she walks in beauty like the night.
That's not Spock.
Are you surprised to find that I've read Byron, Doctor? Yeah.
That's Spock.
If you watch it, it's staged, it's like blocked or whatever, yeah. Like a sitcom, because it's a total joke. You know, he's like, that's not Spock. He turns around and then it goes back and he says, that's Spock. Yeah. It's a joke. And it looks,
I
was waiting for a laugh track right there because that was a total sitcom setup.
Do you have
a
laugh track?
Is that the duty or no duty?
I don't have a.
You don't have any laughter sound effects?
Well, I mean, I have a ton of laughter sound effects.
You're Johnny sound effects.
But I don't have any canned laughter.
You don't
like,
have any canned sound effects. Canned laughter sound effect.
Whoops. That one?
He totally said duty.
Here's what I want you to try. I want you to play the Spock line that you said was like a sitcom, and then play the Agamus. Play the Agamus laughter. You gotta play the Spock line, then the laughter.
Oh man, that's gonna actually take a minute to set up. Wait, was it this one?
It's just whatever one you want. Yeah, that one. I want that one.
Okay, you want that one?
Yes,
to
that
play.
One.
Which do you want me to play all four of those other sounds back
just,
to back?
Just play at least one of the Spock sounds. You know, play one. What makes sense to go with it. Okay, you're Johnny Sound Man. You'll figure it out.
I'll figure out what to do.
Johnny Sound Man.
Okay,
play by play for the audience. Okay. Dan is furiously zipping around his tablet here.
All right,
his sound tablet that he's got set up. It's wild to watch.
Chief O'Brien.
He's scrolling up and scrolling down. Oh, okay. I guess I'm supposed to stop talking and then.
I appreciate the vamping, but I'm there.
Gave me an indicator. I'm there. I should stop. Okay.
Thank you, Patrick.
That's not Spock.
Are you surprised to find that I've read Byron, Doctor?
That's Spock.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was a joke just for me. I'm so happy.
Kolos.
I checked to see if there were any Kolos mispronunciations or inconsistencies here. I'm going to play a bunch of them.
Kolos has been brought to the bridge.
Spock saw Kolos. You can't lie to Kolos.
Welcome aboard, Ambassador Kolos.
I am one with Kolos. Kolos.
Kolos.
Kolos.
Kolos.
Kolos. Kolos. Kolos.
Kolos. Hologram?
So he goes...
Kolos.
He goes Kolos.
Kolos.
Spock says Kolos.
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 Kolos. Kolos.
Kolos. He goes Kolos.
Kalos.
Kalos?
Kalos.
Kalos. Miranda says...
Kalos.
Kalos. So it's like Kalos, it's...
Kalos.
Kalos?
Kalos.
Kalos. It seems like Kalos is
it's
the right way.
It's spelled like O-L-O-S.
She says...
Kalos.
She says Kalos.
Kalos.
Kirk says Kalos. Bones says...
Kalos.
Bones says Kalos. And then Spock says...
Kalos.
Kalos.
So
it's not Kalos, it's not Kalos, it's Kalos.
Yeah.
Now,
so, anyway.
You got all of that.
Yeah.
You got all of that, and that was awesome.
That was awesome, man.
Jesse's bored by it, but that was awesome.
No, Dan is an awesome fellow.
Well, I think Patrick was going based upon your sound effects.
No, whenever that's just whenever you start incidental music.
Whenever you start thubba-thubbing, Patrick,
whenever
detects
Jesse's
that you're
does
bored.
This is tub-thumping. So you got that, but now, did you get the special thing that Dr. Miranda Jones said?
Oh, I probably didn't know.
Did you get the special thing that she said? I'd be surprised if you didn't get this, but I don't think you got it. Because I haven't heard, I think you would have played it by now. She says something.
I am one with Kalos.
No?
Does it have to do with Kalos?
It is one word. It is
Kalos.
It is one word and how she pronounces.
Indeed.
One word.
I don't think I have it.
You don't have when she says sensors.
No, I didn't have it. I don't have her saying sensors.
She refers to sensors.
Oh,
she's
does
talking
she say?
About talking about her sensors.
Mm. Okay.
Shit, her personal
sensor. I think
at home are going to be disappointed.
No, see, I think what happened is that I remember Spock saying sensor, and I
what happened is you fucked up, Dan.
No.
You
I made,
fucked
I
up.
I made an like Kirk with women, I made an assumption, a poor assumption. It was what happened is I remember at one point Spock said sensor, and I almost marked it down to record, but then I was like, "Ah, we've beaten the sensor thing to death. It's time to move on." So, but what Patrick is indicating is that we have not moved
Miranda
on.
Miranda says censor.
The reason Patrick is into this is because I accuse Patrick of being wrong that censor is the way that all Vulcans pronounce it. We got into an argument a few episodes back about it. And so Patrick is using this as...
Physical fight.
Patrick is using this as some kind of...
evidence!
To his point that censor is a Vulcan thing. And I see this as evidence. I will play it next week.
All right.
Evidence.
It won't have the same... je ne sais quoi, or Bavouv, or Jaziv, Vivav. Okay.
Bon vivant. Bon vivant, j'accuse. Bon vivant.
Okay, duty or no duty?
Bon vivant. Oh, duty or no duty?
Do we have the... I vamp for you.
I know.
Hey, everybody, let's play a game.
A game.
It's time to test your ears. It's never the same.
Never, ever.
I agree.
Indeed.
Close now, don't get snooty.
Certainly.
Duty or no duty, that's the game for
I agree.
You. Are they
thank
serious
you.
Or is it poo? Laugh it off.
I must yes, know.
It's true. Duty or no duty, what we do.
Whoops.
To those ears, it's on the line.
Indeed. Indeed.
Duty or no duty, every time.
I agree.
We're gonna shorten that up.
Yeah,
but
it's
a good one. AI. It's a good one. It's
well,
a good
I,
one.
I accidentally played the sound that played music for another 5 seconds afterwards, so it was good that it actually went on this time.
Should
I interrupted? Okay.
Yeah,
Jesse just told me to shut up.
I'm not joking, Lee.
I think he said something earlier.
Sabotage.
Something similar earlier in the episode. All right. Go for it, Dan. Whatever. Oh yes, the duty or no duty. That's what we're all. Yeah. That's all. This was building up to that.
Yeah. This whole episode, a game that does that's often anticlimactic, but it is still informative, I believe, and important to our understanding of the universe. The secrets of the universe. The
duty.
Universe. The universe. The universe. What's that from? secrets of the universe. The universe. The universe.
So you should let me put on the old reverb.
Oh wait, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh wait, no, that's not the one you want. How about no.
Oh man.
How about that? No,
that's no. Not it, dude. That's like in a tin. Okay, this one.
Yes. Okay. Try that one.
Secrets. That's too fast.
Is it too fast?
That's too fast.
How about this?
Secrets. Okay. We'll have to do.
Secret
of the universe.
Universe. All right.
That's from the movie UHF with Weird Al Yankovic. It's the scientist. The scientist whose name is strangely escaping me for some reason. His name is
Dr. Acula?
No.
Is it about the supplies? The supplies closet?
No, it was Dr. Flippenberg.
I'm going to see Weird Al Yankovic this summer in July.
Who is
in concert? I'm not just hanging out with him. I'm going to see him in concert.
In UHF. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. I won't give away too much about him, but like...
Don't give it away, dude. Keep it to yourself.
Give it away.
Philo. His name's Philo.
Give it away now.
He's like, I'm Philo, and today... on something, we'll learn how to do something. He's like,
secrets
today
of
we'll use plutonium
you
to
know
make
what?
Something
you
out
know
of
what?
Something.
I've never actually seen that movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
I should see that movie. Da,
da, da, da, da, da, don't let Dan's description put you off. It's a great movie.
Da, 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 never. Da,
da, da, so... Here, if we were televising this, if this podcast were being broadcast on YouTube, there is
they
where we
get
we would have used the madness cam to zoom in on Dan and be all fisheye lens.
We're a fisheye lens.
All right. Anyway, duty or no duty? Isn't that what we're doing?
I thought so.
Don't make me play the jingle again.
Today we're going to learn to make plutonium from common household items. Okay. Sorry, that was from Secrets of the Universe.
Well,
okay,
good thing you looked up the script of UHF.
Why are you giving away my secrets, man? Patrick is just out to get me.
Did you look it up at checkotea.net?
No. No, you're pulling back the veil, bro. All right, all right. Bro.
All right, bro.
Chief O'Brien!
Oh, Jesus.
Bilana's on it.
Bilana's on it. Bilana's on it. Bilana's on it. Bilana's on it.
Okay, duty or no duty, let's go.
Why put yourself in jeopardy?
This is not a duty that you can assume. This is not a duty that... This is not a duty that... This is not a duty that...
For my money, I don't know about you, Jesse. For my money, it's a duty.
This is not a duty that...
Jesse still...
Yeah.
Leaning his head to the side.
I hate...
I'll concur.
I hate to say it because it's Spock, but that's a total... That's a big steaming duty to me.
It's a rare steamer from Spock.
It's a rare steamer.
We're dangerous.
Where would I stay?
Oh, that's gross.
Yikes.
That's a good... See, that's the thing. Okay, here's the deal with that Section 31 movie. All right?
Okay.
It's a fucked up weird movie. Mm-hmm. We did a whole episode on it. People scroll back a little bit in the feed.
I think I like blacked out during part of that episode.
Dan had an actual problem, like a physical problem during that discussion.
It was too much.
We had like an actual conversation during the break.
It was too much to talk about.
But for whatever flaws, whatever positives, negatives balance out in that movie, what it did give us was that sound clip that Dan uses frequently.
You mean this one?
Yikes.
Yes, exactly.
That one's actually usable.
So
that's what's his name.
That means there is a net positive.
Yeah, that movie did do something good for this world.
Which
guy says that?
The actor. What's the actor's name? Famous actor. You know, he was the shape changer.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
You know that actor.
Yeah.
He's
on The Detroiters.
Yeah.
He's on I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson frequently.
Yeah. Patrick's always the one who remembers his name, but Patrick must be getting old because he doesn't remember.
Oh,
could be getting old.
That's cold.
That is cold. That's cold. I curried him.
You must be getting old.
Yeah. I like the scene in this episode where, first of all, I don't know how they found out that Marvick went insane. Because the scene where it was like Kirk up front, the two red shirts behind him, and then Bones and Spock behind him, they're just like walking down the hall with purpose. Like they look like they're coming out to get some shit. I know it's almost not worth bringing up, but I still have to anyways. It's just funny to me that the captain of the ship is leading like the security team like to some
shit. Leading a militia.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They look
like a little gang.
Yeah,
of
I know.
Dudes.
It looks so serious. I'm not clear how they found out about
it. Go kick the shit out of this guy.
And I know that when there's a crazy or when there's a murderous person running around the ship, you want people to know about
murder.
It. But I don't think it was the best move. Really? Like, you're just pushing buttons.
I didn't
right
even
now.
Notice it again. You know?
I almost didn't.
See, well, you know what it is? It's like, so when you have kids, like, eventually your brain just edits them out. Like, you can't hear
edit
them
it out.
Your brain, seriously, it's a true thing. It's hilarious. Where
it's a true fact.
I didn't say that. It's a true thing. and your brain just edits out your children jabbering on about whatever nonsense, right? Mm. It's a survival mechanism. And you'll suddenly realize somebody will be like, get your kids to shut the fuck up. And you'll be like, what do you mean? I don't hear nothing. And you're like, oh, then you attune your attention to them. And you're like, oh my God, they're just screaming their heads off. Yeah. I think the same thing is happening with Jesse saying murder. Like my brain has just decided to like, yeah, it doesn't even need to be rise to the level of being paid attention to.
So I think it's, Kirk, it seems like Kirk was right to say something that there's this guy running around who's going crazy and going insane, as they put it. But at the same time, him announcing that over the PA or whatever is the reason that dude beat the shit out of Spock.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't going to beat up Spock until Scotty. Yeah, that's what I meant. He wasn't going to do anything. But then when Kirk outed the dude, that's when he like went even like more insane. So like it wasn't a good move on Kirk's part.
He was all standing there and like Kirk made the announcement and like he was just like, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
clicking
blah,
dials, pushing buttons, clicking dials. Well, maybe went insane because he's got a...
So you couldn't resist the wee waiter.
He's got such a silly name. Larry
Marvick.
Marvick.
And Larry Marvick. I helped design the Enterprise.
I dress like Wesley Crusher.
To reiterate, I did actually really enjoy this episode because it was so fucking weird. But and there were some interesting things going on it. But there were some forced things. I thought the whole Rose thing at the end, Kirk is like, Miranda, good luck. I have something for you. And she goes, I suppose it has thorns. And because he hands her a rose, he goes, I suppose it has thorns. And he goes, I never met a rose that didn't. It's like, it's obviously trying to be meaningful, but it's like,
women are beautiful, but dangerous.
And it just felt forced. Like,
we're dangerous.
It's just like, I suppose it has thorns. It just felt unnaturally delivered or something.
Oh, for sure.
We're dangerous.
For sure. And when she said there's somebody
jokingly.
When she said there's somebody nearby thinking of murder, that whole Marvick thing, I didn't even think about it back then, but in retrospect it was pretty obvious that it was Marvick. Now that I think about it, it's pretty obvious.
He was a jealous little
it wasn't gonna be one of the crew. Also, what was the deal with that one red shirt who was like 7 feet tall? Did you remember that guy?
That guy shows up occasionally, I think.
Does he?
Yeah, they just occasionally have a crazy giant guy.
Yeah.
I guess in lieu of aliens, they have a diverse human cast and an occasional giant fella.
Occasional giant. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Infinite diversity.
It just
seemed interesting.
You know what counters the infinite diversity and infinite combinations argument a little bit? Is the fact that they're in that conference room at one point, and if you look on the shelves, there's a bunch of alien skulls.
I didn't notice that.
No joke. Go back and watch.
Sabotage.
I've seen this episode a million times. It blew my mind that I never noticed this before. I guess it was
yikes.
Just watching on a big giant TV in HD. Just straight up alien skulls. And not alien animal skulls. They appear to be humanoid skulls.
The list gets weirder as it goes on.
Just hanging out on a shelf in a conference room. Go check it out. Crazy business.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. There was a lot of lonely style feelings in this episode. At the end, when Kirk's looking for Miranda after Spock like stumbles into the office, after like waking up from being fucked up, Kirk like runs out looking for Miranda in the hallway, and there's this weird eerie shot of Kirk near the end in the hallway by himself, like looking around, which is
lit kind of in an odd way.
Yeah. I wasn't totally sold on Miranda sort of like coming around. Because suddenly, I mean, I understand, like, Kirk gave her that talking to, and then she brought Spock back, and it was a lot of drama.
I think it was mostly Spock giving her what she wanted.
Maybe that was it. Because I understand that Kirk made her see a lot of shit, and it was a harrowing experience, but suddenly, all of a sudden, it was like everything was all good. But it must have been, like you said, it must have been the mind meld.
That's why I was getting at, maybe it should have been made. Just a little bit more explicit because the implications there, but maybe that's where some exposition's warranted.
I thought it was interesting with the flower scene. They placed that well because it was right before we found out that she didn't have sight, so it was fresh in my memory. Because when I found out she couldn't see, like I was like, oh yeah, they were just in the flower room, and she was talking about how one couldn't smell and the other ones did, which is like a normal thing for someone to say, but in this instance, it had kind of a different meaning.
Added meaning. There's a line.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
There's a
line, we entered the void.
Where somebody says, oh, brave new world that has such creatures in it.
Oh, brave new world that has such creatures in it.
And do you know what that's a paraphrase of?
It's some Shakespeare or something?
Yeah, it's from the Tempest. It's from the Tempest. Yeah, yeah. The line is Miranda. Miranda in the Tempest says, "Oh, brave new world that has such people in it." So it's shifted here to creatures.
I saw another
connection to the Tempest.
I saw the Tempest. Right. That was the first Shakespearean play like I'd ever seen.
It's wild if it's your first.
Where did you see that?
That's somewhere like a DC. Later. That's somewhere a later. Did you see it at Ford's Theater or at the Shakespeare
Folger
Theater?
I couldn't tell you. But
both are very good too.
I don't remember which one.
Couldn't tell you.
The Shakespeare Theater does it. I saw. I've mentioned it on the podcast before. I saw Tamburlaine with Avery Brooks at the Shakespeare Theater. It was great.
I never read The Tempest or anything beforehand, and some people were encouraging me to like look at the synopsis on Wikipedia. I was like, no, I'm gonna go into this fresh. I wanna hear some Shakespearean language and I wanna figure it out. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Shakespeare, when people are forced to read it in high school, that's a mistake because it's a fucking play. Like reading scripts is boring. You should watch plays be performed just like movies. Just like movies. All right. Any other items as we near in on the end of this episode here? I think I spoke about everything I was going to mention, except we've mentioned it a couple times. The music was balls out crazy in this episode. Yes, it's so great. Like, what is this? Psychedelic craziness.
It was really good.
It was really good.
The part where Chekhov goes, a madman, when they're out in space, he goes, a madman got us into this, and it's beginning to look as if only a madman can get us out, to which Spock says,
an entertaining suggestion, Mr. Chekhov, but not very helpful.
That's Spock's version of saying, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And then later he has Chekhov help him rewire the shit, or try to rewire the shit. Or maybe that was beforehand. I forget.
Very impressive.
Maybe it was before that. But anyway. All right. Is that all the points? I think we got all our points out. Good episode.
Got our points out.
Fun episode.
I liked it. I it was kind of silly. They forgot the visor. It's like, come on. But I guess that and all the mayhem. Yeah. A lot of crazy shit happened.
It was nonsense.
You know how that shit goes.
Yeah, it happens. I guess I can allow it.
Shit happens.
It was good. I liked that episode.
Star Trek
it was good.
Happened.
All right, solid third season episode.
Good. Fun, solid, crazy ass third season episode. Now, Dan. Jesse, what are we going to talk about next week?
I forget.
Zuber Dubers.
No, we're going to talk about TNG's Justice.
Chompers. What?
I'm excited to talk about this.
What?
Dan's algorithm.
Don't love her!
Dan's
algorithm. She'll kill you if you love her! You brought it with you. It's here. It's here. You brought it with you!
That part was weird, by the way. It was kind of strange.
It was weird.
It was just there to make him seem more insane. But anyway.
And indeed, it worked.
Yeah.
But next week, we're talking about TNG's Justice, and you will recall that is the episode where Wesley gets sentenced to death by a bunch of sexy 1980s people.
Oh, very special.
Dan's algorithm picked it for us. I'm really excited. I'm surprised it hasn't come up earlier. That's a classic, crazy, wild episode. So looking forward to talking about that next week. TNG's Justice. In the meantime, you can find us on social media at It's Got Star Trek.
I'm truly sorry that you're leaving.
You're walking all over Goodbye. My social media. That's okay. Sorry. At It's Got Star
Kick
Trek.
Kicking the balls.
It's easy enough to figure out. It'sGotStarTrek.com is the website. All sorts of stuff to do there, including sorting our podcast by series. So you just want to listen to some TOS, our discussions of TOS, click on the Star Trek TOS, and it'll filter it out to only those
episodes.
If
you like Voy,
go check it out.
Just get some Voy.
What else? Facebook, YouTube, at It's Got Star Trek, all those places. Jump. Yeah, easy peasy. Easy peasy. All right.
Lemon squeezy.
He's trying to silence you.
Indeed. All right.
I'm sorry.
That was a fun one. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
He's dead, Jim.
That was one legitimate.
It's so funny. He so rarely actually says that.
I know. He never says that. We always hear about him saying that.
It's awesome.
Are you sure this visor will work?
It has proved effective for Vulcans.
It's your human half I'm worried about.
I shall endeavor to keep it under control.